Now we break into our regular programming for a KNIA KRLS breaking news program, a Marion County Board of Supervisors COVID-19 press conference. The one to count on for today's news and information and COVID-19 updates is KNIA KRLS.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Ramey, Chairman of the Marion County Board of Supervisors. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Again, in another one of our updates to let you know the things that are going on in Marion County to continue to slow the spread of the coronavirus disease. Before I get started, I just wanted to remind everybody, I know you've seen it. We've been reminding folks a lot. You've seen it at a national level. 30 days to control the spread. The Vice President stands up and holds this during his press conferences. We want to remind everybody that the behaviors listed here, we really, really need everyone to engage in these behaviors. Wash your hands, maintain social distancing. Don't travel unnecessarily. Watch crowds over 10. It's just, as you can hear from the governor, you hear from the president, you hear from the experts, this is working. We're hearing a lot of positive news from our national and state leaders, so we want to encourage all of our Marion County residents to continue to do our part to slow the spread through these behaviors. Remember, if you're sick, stay home from work. Or other activities. We wanted to provide you an update. We have our third confirmed case in Marion County. We have three confirmed cases. Our newest case is an individual 18 to 40 years old. So that makes two in the 18 to 40 year old range and one over age 60. So this virus can hit any age range, even though initially everybody was talking about it being at the older age levels. We have two in the 18 to 40 year old range. So continue to exercise these behaviors. Continue to do these things. All contact tracing has been done for all of our cases, so our public health department continues to do an incredible job managing our active cases. You heard today from the governor about a PPP order, personal protective equipment order, that she is issuing. And they talked about there was potential shortages of personal protective equipment. This impacts our hospitals, long-term care facilities, our nursing homes. We wanted to let you know from a Marion County perspective, we are right now well stocked to meet the current demand on PPE, both our hospitals, our long-term care facilities, our nursing homes, and we continue to look for other sources private sources for those. So we are taking the initiative from a Marion County perspective to secure more of those resources. So right now in Marion County, we're doing well in that regard. So with that, I'd like to invite Jason Sandholt, Marion County Sheriff, to join us for an update. Jason, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Mark, for having me.
Good to see you.
Good seeing you.
All right. An update from the Sheriff's Department.
You bet. At the Sheriff's Office, the number one thing that I wanted to come on today is just to thank the public. A lot of times in our board meetings with the Board of Supervisors or different discussions with sheriffs around the state or even around the country, compliance with whether it be a stay-at-home order in other states or just our recommendations, there's sometimes issues with that. But I have to thank the citizens of Marion County. We have had absolutely no problems in regards to that. If it's something where if we do see a group and we talk to somebody, nobody wants to get their neighbor sick. Nobody, they want to do the right thing, and it's just been fabulous. So I wanted to take the opportunity. I know we only have a couple minutes here, but I wanted to thank for that. And the second thing is, especially with this upcoming week, with the agricultural nature of Iowa and Marion County, we're going to have a lot of farmers out on the roads and with the agricultural equipment stuff. So just when you do have to take that trip to the grocery store to get those needed supplies, not to go run around, but when it is something that you're going to do those necessary things, please be aware of the farmers. They're obviously essential workers and a huge part of our community and the things that we have going on here in the state of Iowa. So watch out for them. And then the last thing is just on our numbers. We have at the Marion County Jail tried to reduce our jail numbers. Yeah. Just we don't want to have anything spread or anything throughout the jail or through there. But on the opposite side of it, we're still out there, whether it be high speeds, whether it be enforcing, I mean, thefts, burglaries, different things. There are people that are still coming to jail. We're just trying to make that the people that really need to come to jail and to cite people into court if it is something that they can be cited for. So thanks for having me today. And appreciate everybody's support and thank you.
Well, I appreciate the update, Jason. And your folks doing well with all the changes? And
yeah, it is. It's hard. I mean, on a lot of times, the other day I put a thing on Facebook or whatever thanking everybody in regards to doctors, nurses, and everything, because this is one of those things that we can't see coming.
Right.
We're trained in law enforcement or even in the jail to look for threats. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those threats that you just can't see. So it's obviously a stressful situation for everybody that's on the front lines, but they're doing great. I've got a great staff and doing great things. So.
Good. Well, Jason, thank you. Thank you for all your folks are doing out there.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for the update. I'd like to invite Jake Grandia, Marion County Auditor, to give us an update. Jake?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right, you bet. Well, what do you have for us today?
Well, today I'd like to talk about something that seems like it'd be a little bit far away, but it's coming quickly, and that's the June 2 Republican and Democratic primary elections.
Yes.
So the good news is that the election is still on as scheduled by the state of Iowa. So we are actively planning for the June 2 primary election. The election is going to look a little different this year. We don't exactly know what that's going to look like. At this point, there will still be some in-person voting, but as that is a work in progress, we are anticipating doing less precincts, combining precincts, so there will be maybe more regional in-person voting if we can get that accomplished or not. That's still kind of a work in progress. But what that kind of brings us to the main point, Mark, for today is to emphasize absentee voting. We would like to absolutely encourage everybody to vote absentee if possible in this upcoming election. So
how do they get that, Jake? How would they get absentee ballots and what's a good resource?
Right. So we do need to receive a written request in our office to receive that absentee ballot. But the great news is the Secretary of State has made a decision and their office is going to be mailing out a statewide mailing probably the end of next week or the following week to all registered voters in the state of Iowa that will have information and have absentee ballot request forms on them. So the voter simply needs to complete that and mail them into our office.
Okay.
We also have them available on our website, at the county website. They can get them from the Secretary of State's website, and we will be happy to mail anybody that calls our office the form as well.
Okay, excellent.
Yep. So we will receive those requests now, and we will hold them. We are not allowed to mail the actual ballots out until April 23, which is coming fairly quick. And then that will be, we'll be able to mail them through May 22.
Okay.
So that's the time period. So we would just encourage everybody to try and to participate absentee this time. What's better than voting from home in this situation?
Okay.
So,
Jake, are we going to post that on our website as well?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good.
Absolutely will. The only other thing I want to mention, if somebody would like to look, we have our sample ballots posted on our county website as well. Got those up as quick as we could so people can go out and look and see what races are for each political party that they will be participating in.
Okay, excellent.
Okay?
Very good.
Now, that's what I want to encourage today. Call our office if you have any questions, 641-828-2217.
Yeah, excellent. And I want to emphasize this, and Jake raises an excellent point. Make sure to vote.
Mm-hmm.
These are extraordinary times, but if you can vote absentee, like
absolutely.
Jake has said, make sure to call his office, check the Marion County website, but make sure to exercise your right to vote.
Yep.
That is extremely important, and we don't want a virus to interrupt one of our most important freedoms.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
I may be back a few times for reminders along the way as we progress, if that's okay.
And absolutely.
Thanks for giving us this chance.
Thanks, Jake. We sure appreciate it. Thank you. I'd like to invite Hannah Vanderveer to come and talk from the Knoxville Chamber of Commerce. So, Hannah, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome.
Good. Thank you. Just wanted to give a quick update for the Knoxville business community. First and foremost, we just wanted to let businesses know that we are here to help you. So if you have questions, we're doing a great job of sending email resources to our members, but specifically we know that we have businesses who aren't members. So we have a Facebook group by by searching Knoxville, Iowa business owners and managers. Okay. Any business owner and manager in the Knoxville area can join that group, and we're putting out constant communication for resources. Businesses who are struggling with something or have had luck with something are sharing. So just using that collaborative atmosphere. So we're also wanting to ask our businesses to answer a couple questions via a survey that we have sent out. We understand that virtually every business is struggling right now. We get that, but we want to know specifically what they need. And hear that from their own words, because every business could be different. So we have a very short survey, 5 to 10 minutes. It can be found on our website, knoxvilleiachamber.com, or on our social media pages. That runs until Wednesday. We'll turn that off so we can start to look at those results and start to do programming off of that. But we're just asking businesses to simply give us that feedback, ask for the help that they need, so we can start to provide even more programs and just offerings for them.
Wow. These are extraordinary times for small businesses. Hannah, I'm sure you guys are getting inundated with calls. How are folks doing out there right now with handling all of the changes, the closures, the having to go to maybe drive up and carry out? How are folks doing?
You know, I just want to say thank you to all of our businesses, because I feel like the businesses in Knoxville and Marion County are doing a great job of following those restrictions, getting through to the best of their abilities with the closures and things like that. It's a struggle. It's going to be a struggle, but as long as we continue to follow the rules that are in place, they're in place for a reason. So all of us doing our part will hopefully get to a solution to this sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and the community support for all these businesses has been outstanding, hasn't it?
Yes, the community is doing all they can do. We do recommend there's three specific things you can do. Buy a gift card now to be spent later to help with business cash flow. If you have the ability to get delivery or carry out from the restaurants. And then use online resources. A lot of our retailers are selling on Facebook, or they have online retail as a way for people to continue to support during this time.
Great. Great. Hannah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the update. Sure, appreciate it. Our small businesses, all of our businesses have made tremendous sacrifices during this time, and Hannah and then Karen over in Pell are doing a great job, Next, I'd like to invite, we got Brian Vandersloos. Nope. We got Rick Hurt from Iowa Solid Waste, the landfill. Rick, come on in.
Hi.
How you doing, Rick?
Not too bad. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
Once again, thanks for having me here.
You bet.
Let everybody know what's going on out there.
Yeah, what's going on at the landfill?
Well, the buildings are still closed to the public. We don't let anybody in or out. You can't use the facilities. You can't use our hand washing. But we are open.
Okay.
So we are taking waste from both commercial and residentials. We do ask that if it's not essential, don't come. But if you've got a need, we're doing our best to stay open to the public, and we will continue to do that. There have been just a couple of changes. One of them is we put plexiglass up. So we've got a slot at the bottom that we will hand out tickets or copies of receipts, things like that. But we're not accepting any cash or checks or anything coming into the building.
Okay.
We do have a box on the outside of the building you can put your checks into. But for credit cards, just hold them up to the window or read us the numbers. We'll go ahead and enter those in. We'll get the transaction done. But we're not accepting cash at all anymore at all. So either have a check, credit card, or debit card before you come out to the landfill. For charge account customers, no changes. We simply hand a receipt out through the slot. And I did want to remind everybody, my personnel have been instructed, we can't help you get your loads unloaded. We're going to maintain that 6 feet of separation. We're going to keep that at a minimum. I've told them all stay in their machines, try and limit contact with the public, whatever you do. The one thing I did want to update on, though, our household hazardous waste exceptions, that's like oil-based paints and fluorescent tubes, pool chemicals, acids, bases, pesticides, herbicides, all those things, it's closed.
Okay,
we cannot accept any of those. The building's full. The place that accepts them from us is not accepting anymore, so we don't really have much of a choice.
I mean, everybody's staying at home. They've probably cleared out their house.
Exactly.
And
we're getting a lot of that.
Okay.
Now, typically every summer, spring time, we have mobile events. We go out to the community and we do these household hazardous waste collections. Those are all canceled for the year.
Okay.
We actually have to go through individually and sort all these materials out, and we really don't want that hand-to-hand
right.
close contact. So right. all of those have been canceled for the season. So with that being said, we do have a website. It's www.siswa.org, S-C-I-S-W-A.org. And there's some tips on there on how to store those materials until the program does open back up.
Okay.
So just to summarize, no cash. We're not accepting any cash at all. Checks or credit cards or debit cards only. And all those events have been canceled. So we'd like to remind everyone, similar to what the governor's done, stay at home as much as possible. Essential errands only. Iowans are responsible for prevention. We need to stay at home. We need to be responsible. If you do have questions, I'm still there. I've still got staff there. We're answering the phones. It's 641-828-8545. Feel free to call. We could go through whatever your situation is and make our best recommendations.
Great.
That's it for the update. Hey, thanks for having us out again.
You bet, Rick. Thank you for the update. We sure appreciate what you guys are doing. Everybody's having to modify their business practices to meet this. So thanks, Rick. Appreciate it very much. I'd like to invite Don DeWard, Mayor, City of Pella. Don, thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. What's your update from Pella?
Well, just a couple things. Quick update officially from the City of Pella, and then a couple good stories that I like
All
to
right.
share with people. But just so you know, I know there's a lot of debate out there. Some people think we're doing too much. Some people think we're not doing enough. And just so, from the City of Pella standpoint, our official position is we are in lockstep with what the governor is saying. And so that means all of our facilities are closed, our playground equipment, all of our buildings, our soccer complex, until April 30, which is the time frame that we're working on right now. And you know, I'm not in the speculation business as to when this thing might be better. So in my world, we know what we're doing until April 30, and beyond that, we'll have to make those decisions later. So just want to make sure everybody knows officially that's where we're at with the position of the City of Pella. Obviously, it's tulip time of year, mm-hmm. although we've already canceled our tulip festival. The tulips are coming up, and
yeah.
I see a few of them have popped the last few days when
yeah.
it was warm. Got a feeling that based on the weather report this weekend, they'll probably be going back in and
yeah.
waiting a few days because it's supposed to be kind of chilly. But you know, obviously coming to see the tulips is a big deal for us and for people. And again, I just want to reiterate what the governor has said. Stay home. Don't congregate in groups. You know, if our residents of Pella want to go see the tulips and walk around, make sure you keep your distance. You can look at those. And so that's just what we have to live with until April 30. One thing I do know that our CVB and the Historical Society are looking at doing some things online, having some updates, you know, getting out and taking some pictures of tulips and things like that to share on social media. So if you want to keep up on how the tulips look in Pella, I think there'll be some opportunities to do that. So I think that'll be kind of a neat thing. A lot of us are getting used to being on our computer and devices talking to people. So this is one more way that you'll be able to view some of the beautiful tulip beds that we have in our community. And so if you want to do that, there'll be more information coming. If you go to the website, Pella City website, or the CBB of Pella, those will all be there. And then one more quick update on the Pay It Forward program that we partnered the city and Pace. The latest report I saw was that about $60,000 of receipts had been turned in.
That's great.
Which is fantastic, and people are getting 10% back in some Pella bucks. That program, we set it up to get to a maximum of $100,000. So if you want to get in on it, get your receipts, go spend some money in town, get your receipts turned into the Pace office, and be able to participate. And then one last thing, and I'll put my glasses on so I read this correctly. The Marion County Community Foundation, as we talked about last week, committed $150,000 to help our first responders. They've also established a response fund disaster response fund to help residents of Marion County with whatever their needs may be. And so they've thrown in the first $10,000. And you can go, and if you want to join and be a supporter of that, if you go to the website mccfiowa.org, then there's a place there where you can donate, and it kind of describes the program, tells you what it's going to be used for. And so if you're able, I know a lot of us, a lot of people are, you know, suffering economically now, and so there may be some things that this can help with. If you're still working and things are going okay, here's an opportunity for everybody to get involved helping our fellow neighbors out. And I feel like people will do that because that's what we do here.
Excellent. That's absolutely what we do, Don. So. And you know, we hear a lot about out east. The things obviously are bad in New York and some of those places. Those are resilient communities. Yeah. But I think when we talk, we've got some resilient communities here, right? I mean,
exactly.
When you think of Pella and Knoxville, Melcher, Pleasantville, Bussey, all of our towns, we've got some resilient towns here as well. And next year, Tulip Time will be different,
yeah.
We hope.
Hoping it'll be the best ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don, thanks for coming.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Then we've got, via Zoom, we've got Brian Hatch, Mayor of the City of Knoxville. Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
What's
just going? Wanted to give a couple quick updates. First of all, to kind of echo what Mayor DeWard said, we're real similar to their situation. All of our parks, facilities, play areas are closed down until the end of the month, just like he had mentioned. So it's, I think it's always a good reminder to let people know what's going on in regard to that situation. Our green spaces and trails are open, so we encourage people to get out and take advantage of that while keeping their social distancing in mind. Second thing, I would like to introduce to the citizens of Knoxville a new program that we initiated this week. Our fire chief had the idea, he'd noticed other communities doing it, so he brought it forward to the community here, which I think is wonderful. It's a what we're calling Knoxville COVID-19 Neighbor Helping Neighbor program. It's a very simple program. This is as it's kind of structured to allow the high risk people, the people that are can't get out, to maybe get help from their neighbors, first responders, whoever it is, to get those essential needs and reduce their interaction. Maybe if they don't want to go to the grocery store, this would allow people to see this. What we're doing is they're handing out three pieces of paper for them. They can request this packet. It'll be a green paper, a yellow paper, and a red paper. They'll put them up in their front door, front window, someplace that's visible from the street. And neighbors will be able to go by, first responders can see this. Green means they're okay. Yellow means they have needs that need to be addressed in the next 72 hours. And red means they have needs that need to be addressed in the next 24 hours. We're hoping that with this, neighbors can see this, people driving by, they can stop, ask people what they need, and give them the help. So we're really trying to encourage, when we say neighbor helping neighbor program, that's really what we want here. Just trying to give the citizens of Knoxville another avenue to help each other out in these hard times. I do want to stress with this that it does not replace a 911 call. This is not an emergency hotline type of thing. If it's an emergency, we stress that you dial 911. This is for those needs that just essential needs that are not emergent. Maybe it's medicine that you need filled, groceries that you need, whatever it is. So we hope people can take advantage of this situation. I do want to share the phone number. We do have a neighbor helping neighbor hotline that they can call and request a packet. They'll deliver a packet to your home. And once you have that packet, if you put up a piece of paper and you're in need of something and you don't get assistance, we've partnered with local businesses, churches, and civic groups to have volunteers already in line, ready to go. If they do not get the help needed within that time period, they can call the hotline number, and those volunteers will go out and meet those needs for the people. So it's a really great program, and I truly hope the city of Knoxville can embrace it. So I just want to, like I said, in closing, share that hotline number. That is 641-820-0679. And as always, a lot of this information is on you guys sharing it on your informational pages. We have it on the city Facebook, city website, all those different places. So please take advantage of it, and I hope that it really gives us gives the neighbors an opportunity to help each other out.
That's a great update, Brian. Thank you very much for sharing that. And again, I'm going to just hold this up for everybody for Marion County. All the information that's being presented here will be on our joint information page. This is the website and email address to gain access to those things, to that information. I'd like to invite Kevin Stitzworth from Knoxville Hospitals. Kevin, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
And what's going on at the hospital?
Well, we're doing pretty well at the hospital. But I gotta say, we do miss our patients and we do miss our visitors. And just our regular, we have a few people that come in for the regular breakfast bunch. So we miss seeing them in the hallways. But you know what? We are feeling the love. I've said this before, and Kevin Kincaid has said this before. We are feeling the love from our communities. And the support has just been a big boost to our morale. So we appreciate that. And so we're doing well. We're doing well. Just want to remind everyone of a couple things. We do have visitor restrictions in place. So we are asking people to come into campus via one entrance right now, which is our emergency entrance. And then you'll be greeted by some staff members at the screening station there. Okay. And then we also do have some visitor restrictions in place in regards to the number of people who are allowed into the hospital. So basically it's down to one caregiver or provider that is with a patient. So there's more of that on our website. So if you'd like to read up on that. Okay. And finally, we are still seeing patients. So if you are interested in meeting with your provider, but if you don't want to come into the clinic, you're more than welcome to schedule a virtual visit. So we do have what's called Mobile Express Care, which is on our website, and basically it's I've talked about this before, but basically you can meet with your provider virtually from the comfort of your own home. So if you're not comfortable coming into the hospital, you can do that from home. It's been great. We've had a lot of patients take advantage of that, and it's worked out really well. And I mentioned this before, but one way that we're protecting our most vulnerable is by using virtual care and meeting with our patients at the nursing homes. So there's no direct contact with them, and it's worked out beautifully for us and for them. So you're still getting that high quality care, but in a different kind of setting.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, it's kind of amazing how everybody's had to adjust their business model.
Absolutely.
For this in hospitals. I mean, we want people to still check with their physician if something's wrong. And so what a great opportunity
yes.
to do that, but not have to go to the hospital, especially if you're concerned.
Exactly.
So it's a perfect opportunity. So that's on your website, right, Kevin?
It is. It's you can find it great directly on the right hand of our website, and it's called Mobile Express Care. So we want you to be healthy, and we want to make sure that you're maintaining your health. So
absolutely. Excellent.
So, thank you.
Kevin, thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing out there.
Thank you.
We sure appreciate it. I'd like to invite Bob Coors, Cruz joining us by Zoom. Bob?
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. And again, Kevin from Knoxville Hospital did a nice job of kind of summarizing where we're at, too. I think the biggest thing is the visitor restrictions. They can seem a bit harsh, but we're really trying to protect both the staff and our patients. So I'm going to run through them again just because there's been a little confusion. It just kind of adds to what Kevin had just said. But now, there'll be no visitors permitted unless they fall into the following categories. Patients under 18, they can have one parent or caregiver that's allowed with them. In our busy birthing center, one support person is allowed. And patients in need of assistance in general can have one caregiver allowed. And in the emergency department and patients having surgery, there's one visitor allowed. And then at the end of life, the hospice situation, we have a limit of two visitors at any time. And again, these are following pretty much the guidelines. And again, just as Kevin said, that's all available on the website. But with all that said, too, I think in reflection of the last week or so, I just really want to thank the generosity of this of our community. There's been so many people in the area that have donated masks and gloves and cleaning supplies and face shields that have been made by the industries and various people with 3D printers. It's just been incredible to see the innovative things that are going on. Women and men that are good seamstresses making the masks. They've been encouraged. We're all being encouraged to wear masks whenever we go out in the public. And so there's just an outpouring of that. And again, it just really makes us in healthcare feel really good that we're all in this together. It's a great team effort by the entire community of this entire region, entire state, and we're just really proud of everyone that's been involved in this, and just want to thank everyone. So that's really my report for today, Mark.
Well, thanks, Bob. We sure appreciate it. It is sure showing us at our best, isn't it? Everything that's going on.
It sure is. I mean, it just really, sometimes it takes adversity to bring out the best in people, and it's too bad adversity has to come along, but it's great to see the best in folks. So
absolutely. Well, Bob, thanks for the update. We sure appreciate it. I'd like to invite Ethan Book, pastor of Christ Church. We got a big weekend coming up.
We do.
Easter.
Yes,
and,
we do.
And Ethan, thanks for coming and just sharing a few minutes with us. So.
No problem. No problem. Thank you. Well, it is a big weekend for the church community. It is Easter week. It's Good Friday today, which is a day that the church celebrates the life that they have through Christ. And so it's been a big week. A lot of churches have been able to be online this week, and so we're thankful for that, for the technology that we have these days. I think the biggest thing that I've been thinking about this past week is I've heard on the radio and online and news sources and things like that, the word unprecedented is used a lot. And I am reminded in the Old Testament that God's word tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. And so although these times are unprecedented in the experiences that we're having, none of this is new for a creator God. And there have been times throughout history in written and unwritten where people have gone through difficulties. And as I told our church 4 or 5 weeks ago, as we go into the midst of this, we know that we're going to come out of it, that there's going to be another side of this, but there are always going to be things that hit us and knock us down, whether it's in our personal life, in our financial life, and that's what this Easter season is about. It's about that hope that we have. And so I just want to encourage people to remember to, like everybody has talked about before me, it has been a great time to be in Marion County. I've personally lived here for the last 16 years, and so to see the communities come together, to see all the people that have come before me and share how the community is helping one another and how the government and all of our services are working together to make sure that we stay safe, to make sure that we handle things as well as we can, is just a blessing. And so I just want to remind the church community and people that, you know, we still can worship together, even though we're not in person. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be encouraging one another, that iron sharpens iron. And so as this Easter Sunday comes up and Good Friday services tonight, there are many churches that are having those online. I just encourage people to plug in to a place there. If you don't have a place where you can plug in, ask a friend, ask a neighbor, or invite somebody. Call them, invite them, check on how they're doing, and invite them to a church service. So thank you very much, Mark.
Ethan, thank you for coming. We sure appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Thank you. Well, with that, I'd like to just close for this week. Again, reminding everybody, first thanking all the folks that have come to share with us during the course of these press conferences, but to remind all of our residents, we are not quite halfway through April, but we still have till the end of April with these guidelines. Continue to do this. We are making a difference, and you are making a difference. We are seeing some positive news come from the national level and even from the state level. So even though you might hear about more cases, especially here in Marion County, we have 3 active cases, we have always behaved like the virus was here. So these behaviors, wash your hands, if you feel sick, stay home, stay out of crowds over 10, make sure to properly social distance. Remember, social distancing and washing your hands, probably the 2 most effective behaviors that we can have to slow the spread. We appreciate everything you're doing, our businesses, our individuals, the sacrifices you're making to contribute to this effort. We'll see you next week. Thank you.